Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Wednesday. It's March the 8th. It's day 67 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us, and oh, how we need that. No doubt about it. Hey, my friends, today I am broadcasting this from a closet here in Orlando, Florida. Just been going through a few days of the Story Runners Workshop. Been learning lots and enjoying the beautiful weather down here in Florida. What a place. Well, today, my friends, we are in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 7 through 9, and then we finish our reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Deuteronomy, chapter 7. The privilege of holiness. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you: the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them, make no treaties with them, and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me and worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and chose you because you were more numerous than all the other nations, for you were the smallest of all the nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees, and regulations I am giving you today. If you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine and olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young, and the Lord will protect you from all sickness, and he will not let you suffer from terrible diseases that you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. You must destroy all the nations the Lord your God hands over to you. Show them no mercy and do not worship their gods, or they will trap you. Perhaps you will think to yourself, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it with your own eyes. And remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand and powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against all the people that you fear. And then the Lord your God will send terror to drive out the few survivors still hiding from you. No, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and he is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you, little by little. You will not clear them all away at once, otherwise the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. But the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will throw them into a complete confusion until they are destroyed. He will put their kings in your power, and you will erase their names from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. You must burn their idols in the fire, and you must not covet the silver or gold that covers them. You must not take it, or it will become a trap to you. It is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring any detestable object into your home, for then you will be destroyed, just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction. Deuteronomy chapter 8. A call to remember and obey. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we will live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplined you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out of the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevine and fig tree, pomegranates and olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I have given you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, "I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy." Remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Victory by God's grace. Listen, O Israel. Today you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land belonging to the nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. The people there are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants. You've heard the saying, "Who can stand up to the Anakites?" But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. After the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, "The Lord has given us this land because we are such good people." No, it is because of the wickedness of the other nations that he is pushing them out of your way. It is not because you are so good or have such integrity that you are about to occupy this land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath he swore to your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must recognize that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land because you are good, for you are not. You are a stubborn people. Remember and never forget how angry you made the Lord your God out in the wilderness from the day you left Egypt until now. You have been constantly rebelling against him. Even at Mount Sinai, you made the Lord so angry, he was ready to destroy you. This happened when I was on the mountain receiving the tablets of stone inscribed with the words of the covenant that the Lord had made with you. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and all that time I ate no food and drank no water. The Lord gave me 2 tablets on which God had written with his own finger all the words he had spoken to you from the heart of the fire when you were assembled at the mountain. At the end of the 40 days and nights, the Lord handed me the 2 stone tablets inscribed with the words of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, "Get up, go down immediately. For the people you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. They have melted gold and made an idol for themselves." The Lord also said to me, "I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Leave me alone, so I may destroy them and erase their name from under heaven. Then I will make a mighty nation of your descendants, a nation larger and more powerful than they are." So while the mountain was blazing with fire, I turned and came down, holding in my hands the 2 stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. There below me I could see that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had melted gold and made a calf idol for yourself. How quickly you had turned away from the path the Lord had commanded you to follow. So I took the 2 stone tablets and threw them to the ground, smashing them before your eyes. Then as before, I threw myself down before the Lord for 40 days and nights. I ate no bread and drank no water because of the great sin you had committed by doing what the Lord hated, provoking him to anger. I feared that the furious anger of the Lord, which turned him against you, would drive him to destroy you. But again he listened to me. The Lord was so angry with Aaron that he wanted to destroy him too. But I prayed for Aaron, and the Lord spared him. I took your sin, the calf you had made, and I melted it down in the fire and ground it into fine dust. Then I threw the dust into the stream that flows down the mountain. You also made the Lord angry at Taberah, Massah, and Kibroth Hattaavah. And at Kadesh Barnea, the Lord sent you out with this command, "Go up and take over the land I have given you." But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to put your trust in him and obey him. Yes, you have been rebelling against the Lord as long as I've known you. That is why I threw myself down before the Lord for 40 days and nights. For the Lord said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, do not destroy them. They are your own people. They are your special possession, whom you redeemed from Egypt by your mighty power and your strong hand. Please overlook the stubbornness and the awful sin of these people and remember instead your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you destroy these people, the Egyptians will say the Israelites died because the Lord wasn't able to bring them to the land he promised to give them. Or they might say he destroyed them because he hated them. He deliberately took them into the wilderness to slaughter them. But they are your people and your special possession, whom you brought out of Egypt by your great strength and powerful arm." Mark 15, Jesus' trial before Pilate. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews?" Pilate asked. For he realized by now that the leading priest had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "Then what should I do with this man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him! Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Then he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters called the Praetorium. He called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, and he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from that cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Some women were there, watching from a distance. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come up with him from Jerusalem were also there. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus had already died, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. Punishment was due them. They were rebellious. They worshipped other gods. Even after God had rescued them from Egypt with great power, they would still reject him. like all people everywhere, they were rebellious against God. Moses had to plead over and over again for God to hold back his hand of judgment. Punishment was due them. But Moses was a good advocate. He fell face down time and time again and pleaded that God would be merciful to these rebels. And God was merciful, not because they were good, but because God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God promised them that he would find a way to rescue them, not just their bodies, but also their souls. And not just them, but people from all over the world. Our reading in Mark's gospel shows us exactly how God is doing that. God is truly rescuing his people. He's doing something about this rebellious-hearted people. He's forgiving them, and he's shedding his blood for them, and he's going to pour out his spirit on them. And he's doing this because someone greater than Moses is their advocate now. And the spirit of this greater advocate, Jesus, is now re-inhabiting his people. It's the re-inhabiting of God's people that brings about the rescue that we all so desperately need. He's reoccupying us, men and women, boys and girls. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means God occupying you by his Spirit, the way he was telling his people to enter and to occupy this promised land. The Spirit of God is entering our lives and occupying our lives and bringing his life and his victory to all those who believe. The Christian life is nothing less than reoccupation, my friend. God reoccupying that which he has purchased by his blood on the cross, making people new, forgiven, giving them abundant life. And ours is to believe it, to receive it, to let God in his strength defeat the giants that still remain in our lives and take total possession of all that God has won for us. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. To let God reoccupy all that's been purchased. I've been purchased. My whole body, my whole life, my whole soul, it's all been purchased by him, and I want him to have it all. That's a prayer I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son, and that's a prayer I have for you. May it be so. Hey, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs, and it's always a blessing to hear from you, to find out who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So let a body know. Take a moment and send me a note and let me know what the scoop is. It'll bless you and it will certainly bless me. Hey, speaking of being a blessing, would you be a blessing and go to the iTunes Store or Google Play and write us a review? Your reviews make it so much easier for people to find this podcast. And I'm convinced there are a lot of people out there who are needing a little encouragement in the Word each day. And that's what we want to offer. So you can be a part of that simply by going and offering us up a review. Hey, just a reminder that we have our prayer wall at dailyradiobible.com. If you need prayer, my friend, you stop on by and you let us know how we can pray for you. God answers prayer. So don't be shy. Head on over to the prayer wall and give us the privilege of standing with you in prayer. Well, it is a privilege. Indeed, it is to share time in God's Word with you each day. I can't believe I get to do this. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And you remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You guys take care.